Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Of the Lord in the house today. Anybody love the Lord? Hallelujah! I love you, Jesus! This is one time I'm not pumping and priming it. If you love him, you love him. If you don't, you don't. But those that love him, those that have had this experience with him, when the word said, I love you, Jesus. I worship you and I adore you. I just want to tell you, Lord, in the face of the congregation in heaven, I want them to know I love you, Jesus. And the truth be told, you love me enough to die for me. If the truth be told, when I didn't give you the time of day, you were loving on me. Woo! I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I think somebody has it in their spirit that there's something about worship. I mean, there's something about when we worship him with a pure heart. It's not about what we want to get out of it. We just want him to know that, Lord, you are worthy of all of it, and we worship you. God bless you. You may be seated. This is that kind of atmosphere that is conducive for miracles to take place. I truly believe that. It's the kind of atmosphere that when we remember that God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. When we remember that, what a mighty God we serve. When all of those things start flooding our minds, it brings us to a place of real worship. Worshiping the one that should be the center of our joy. Come on, put your hands together. Give him praise right now. If you would, I want to do something that's uncharacteristic when I minister. There's the whole chapter of Proverbs, the fourth chapter, but time would not permit me to go through the whole thing. So if you allow me, I'm going to skip through it. But I want to give you Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verses 10 through 12, Proverbs 14 and 15. Proverbs 18 through 20, and Proverbs 26 through 27. And if you would, once you find those scriptures, if you would please rest on your feet. If you're here today and you don't have a source of the Word of God, please just look up on the screen, and those scriptures should be before you. I do want to say to you, I know that you pressed your way. I realize that God has equipped you not to be a fair weather saint. It wasn't based on if it was going to be a beautiful sunshiny day that you came out to be with us. And for that, I am grateful. If you would allow me to read in your hearing these scriptures as you read them silently. In Proverbs 4, 10 through 12, the Bible says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Somebody say paths.
Paths.
That's plural. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Verse 15, avoid it. Somebody say avoid it.
Avoid it.
Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. 18, the path of the just is as the shining light. Somebody say shining light.
Shining.
We are the light of the world. So it should be a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. Somebody say darkness. That's why sometimes you get around folk and it's so dark. I mean, the lights are on, but it's just a dark feeling. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Now, please, sir, ma'am, pay closest attention to the latter two scriptures. He says, ponder the path of thy feet. In other words, consider where you're going. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy way be established. In verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Eternal God, we are grateful, Lord, for the gathering on this rainy day. The overcast, should I say, is out. But Lord, we know that the S-O-N is shining brightly. We appreciate, Lord, the press of the people today. Now, Lord, let me be found decreasing as we watch you increase in this place. Let the word of God, Lord Jesus, convict us, convince us, and convert us. And Lord, if there are any by way of in-person or live stream have never repented of their sins nor been baptized in your name, Jesus, today is a great day for that to take place, and that, Lord Jesus, they be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when all these things are said and done, we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everyone say in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Before you're seated, please, sir, ma'am, let me invite you back to the 26th verse of that fourth chapter of Proverbs. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. In the remaining time that I have, I want to minister to you from this thought. Watch your step. Turn to that neighbor next to you and say, neighbor, are you watching your steps? God bless you. You may be seated. Watch your steps. You see, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, oftentimes we see signs that warn us, watch your steps. They may be in the form of yellow and black strip, and it'll be right by a step, and it's telling you to be careful because you need to watch your step. Or you might be seeing this trifold, and it'll say the floor is wet. You see, all of those things are telling us to watch your step. It's alerting us. It's warning us, if you please, that there could be a potential hazard ahead if you don't take heed and what? All right, y'all working with the brother this morning. Thank you. The book of Proverbs is full of godly advice. There's so many proverbs, but it's difficult to memorize them all. Some stick with us. Amen? And then we find ourselves returning to them over and over again. So as we look back over our text, ponder the path of your feet. Really, that's just a biblical way of saying, watch your
steps.
Mm-hmm. It's telling us to watch our steps and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You see, we all know that if we are to watch our steps, spiritually speaking now, that means that we are to be found in prayer. Listening to God. Hearing what God has to say, directing and ordering our steps. We don't know where our steps may lead. Hello? Amen. David, he said in Psalms 23, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Mm-hmm. He said that. And the reason being is because we don't know our steps. But God knows every step we have taken and every step we will take. Somebody ought to say amen. He's omniscient, all-knowing, and all-powerful. We need to be careful that where we put our feet is where God intended for us to put our feet. Sometimes we step in places we know we don't have no business stepping in. I'm going to give somebody a flashback right now. Remember when you stepped in that club? It was only one way in and one way out. The Lord told you, don't go in there. Yeah, the lights were dim and red and man, the atmosphere. But all of a sudden, pow, pow, pow. You know what happened? You were putting your feet in a place God didn't intend for you to put your feet. And when we misstep, somebody say misstep. It's because we have not prayed over our steps as we should. So why don't we ask God to order our steps and lead us and guide us in the way that we should go? You see, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he delights in his way. That's in Psalms 37, verse 23. Then why not patiently wait for the Lord? I'm asking you the question. So then why not patiently wait for the Lord? You see, the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And establish my goings. In other words, my steps. He established my steps. That's in Psalms 40, verses 1 and 2. God set our feet upon a rock and established our steps. Anybody believe that? Well, but the question on the floor is then, do you want your steps to be established? See if your feet are on that solid rock and he's establishing you, that means there are certain places you can't go. Certain people you can't hook up with no more. Oh, y'all. Y'all, it's all right. I'm trying to tell you, watch your step. But I'm saying to you, the question is, do you want your steps to be established? And if so, we need to walk prayerfully. Somebody say prayerfully.
Prayerfully.
There are just some directions, and this is the truth, in life, that if we take them, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. Hello, can I get me one somebody to be honest? You went in your direction. Ooh, help me, Jesus. You know, the Bible just is full of people that have taken missteps. Jonah, he had a direction he wanted to go. And God told him where to go. And if you follow that account, after he did not obey God, everything went down, down, down. So these directions that we take in life, if we be truthful, we're going to find ourselves in trouble, especially in our youth. Can anybody be honest? When you were a young buck, when you were out there, you made a lot of mistakes. But let's be real. It's not limited to the youth. It also pertains to us as adults. Because now as adults, we've made some bad mistakes. We've made some bad choices. Hello, is y'all with me today? The scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16 and 25. We find that to be true. We make life more challenging, really, than it ought to be. We make it so challenging for ourselves, we don't watch our steps. We need to be reminded of the enemy. Somebody say the enemy. And you know who I'm talking about. That's old Slewfoot. See, some of y'all done got hoodwinked and bamboozled. You done let him, he was hitchhiking. And then you let him get on. And now he want to drive. And he's driving you some places you wish that you would have never been in. Remember that the enemy has steps for you that he's ordering. Mm-hmm. That means he has some traps all around and all along the paths of life. And he wants us to step into them. Because once you do, he says, gotcha. And when we do, we end up regretting the steps that we took. Anybody in here want to be honest? There's some steps that you took and you regret. You're not the only one. Here we find David in Psalms 51, and we know about that Psalms. That is the Psalm where it is told that he made this prayer after that the prophet came to him and said, David, thou art the man. You remember that account. Here we find David saying these words, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. The problem is, folk don't want to acknowledge when they've fallen. Don't want to acknowledge when they've sinned. Don't want to acknowledge when they're full of pride. Don't want to acknowledge when they're walking opposite of what God has told them. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before. Bruh, sis, I don't need you to bring up to me what I did. It ain't left me. It's in my mind. I gotta wrestle with that thing. I gotta put it under the blood on a daily basis. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. This is the part I love. Create in me. I ain't talking about y'all now. Create in me a clean heart. See, that's when we've got to be honest. Our heart is defiled. Our heart is polluted. Our heart is corrupted. The Bible says that there's no good thing. Not one. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, y'all don't want to be real, but I'm going to be real. There are times when my spirit is not right. There are times when I know I make myself sick. And I've got to ask God, create in me. I don't have time to sweep around your door. I got to sweep around mine. So God created me a clean heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You say you know your heart, you're lying. Only God can know your heart. And renew a right spirit. That wrong, rowdy spirit, that wrong route of despicable spirit, that wrong spirit. I need it corrected. I need you to renew a right spirit within me. Then he said this, cast me not away from thy presence. Y'all, I'm going to be honest. It is nothing that means more to me than being able to be in the presence of God. And if there are things that will hinder me and things that will prevent me from being in his presence, I don't want that, because I'm looking at David here and he's saying, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I cannot make it. I cannot take it without the Spirit of God, because it's in him that I live, I move and have my very being. And if he were to withdraw his Spirit from me, whither would I go? In Psalm 73, Asaph, he found himself in trouble because he didn't watch his steps. Somebody say he didn't watch his steps. Listen to what he said. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Somebody say, Asaph. Why? I'm glad you asked. He said, for I was envious at the foolish. My God, look at what we do. We look at people in the world that may have some temporary stuff right now, and we get all uptight. We get all just stressed out trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm going to tell y'all, keep on keeping up with the Joneses. And you'll see how the Joneses are really living. Years ago when I worked at the Savannah Riverside, the money was very lucrative, depending on what side of the house you worked on, whether it was Minister Prescott's side of house operations or security where I worked at. There was money to be made. There were people that made so much money. You saw houses going up, big, beautiful houses. Now, this is something that really happened. This person had a beautiful house. And from the outside, everybody was like envious. Man, that's a big old house. Man, that's a beautiful house. And then one day, they had to go to the house because that person had taken ill. And when they went into the house, guess what they saw? Nothing. No furniture to sit on. Nothing. Boy, they were keeping up with the Joneses. They were dressing to impress. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Let me ask you a question. There's a saying that goes, pay me now or pay me later. Now, ask yourself, which one do you want? Pay now or pay later? I'm gonna leave that with you, and you just determine however you want and however you fixing it in your mind. How many of you remember the prodigal son in Luke, the 15th chapter? He found himself in the pig pen of life. Why? Somebody say, why? Because of missteps. And when he came to himself, somebody said, come to himself. See, sometimes you got to get up out of the pig pen and come to yourself. Shake yourself off. Say, why in the world am I doing here when I've got a father that's rich in houses and land? The Bible said when he came to himself, he went to his father and said, Father, I have sinned against thee. I have sinned against heaven and thee and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Tell that person next to you, watch your steps. I'm almost done. I don't know if y'all flashing me back there or not. In Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 and 2, and also verses 4 and 5, it says, keep thy foot. Now, please listen. Even in church, we've got to what? Watch your steps. He said, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just need to hush and listen what God has to say through the word of God. When thou goest to the house of God, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Now I'm going to let y'all ponder that one a minute. Then he says, be not rash with thy mouth. In other words, don't be so hasty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There are some people, they could not be quiet if you paid them. That's why I wonder sometimes when they marched around the walls of Jericho, how difficult was that for them? I mean, they probably was busting at the seam because you remember the count out for 7 days. They can't say nothing. He said, don't say nothing until I blow the trumpet and say, shout. But there are some people, they're so rash. Immediately they want to be in kind of conversation. Conversation is between A and B, and here you find your way, C and you. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. We ought to be mindful of the offering that we bring him with our words. For God is in heaven. Where's God at?
Yes.
He sits high, but he looks low. And he can hear you. Somebody say, he can hear me. He's in heaven, and thou art upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. I'm trying to help somebody. How many of you know that he gave us two ears and one mouth? Could that be an indicator he wants us to do more listening than talking? Verse 4 says, When thou vowest a vow unto God. Now I'm really trying to help somebody today. When thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay it. For he have no pleasure in fools. This is what he counts you as now. When you jump off at the lips and you start saying, oh God, God, if you get me out of this one, God, if you save him, God, if you deliver my husband, God, if you. He remembers all of that. And he says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay him. In other words, don't welch on it. See, I come from the old school. Whatever a man said, that's what it was. We didn't have a stack of papers. We just shook. It was the word. If you are not no better than your word. Oh, I know it got quiet extra there. Because some of us, we just say stuff to be saying it. Don't have any intentions in backing it up. Don't have any intentions in doing what we say. But he says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, I want to make that clear, not to me, but to God. Defer not to pay it, for he have no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou has vowed. Anybody made a vow to God? Verse 5, better it is that thou shouldest not vow then that thou shouldest vow and not pay. It is so quiet in here. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I just want them out there. Facebook, they still here. YouTube, they still here. What it is that we understand that there are times that we just do stuff and don't understand behind what we do. Now, I'm done. Just quickly, Psalms 119, 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Psalms 44 and 18. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Psalms 37 and 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Psalms 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and his delight is in him. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, watch your step. Can I get you to stand? I'd like to leave you with this word in closing. In 1 Peter 2 and 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Everybody say an example. "That ye should follow his steps." That we should follow his steps. With every eye, every head bowed, all eyes closed. Lord, this was a word. I believe it's a word, Lord, that I personally, Lord, am convicted by. A word that cut me. A word that let me realize, God, there are things that need to be changed in my life. Now, I don't know about you, but the altar is open. It is ready for those that will come down to it and acknowledge, Lord, here I am just as I am. I've had missteps, and Lord, I need you to direct me and lead and guide me. I find myself, Lord Jesus, yielding, Lord, to the things of the world. Find myself, Lord, being yielded to my thoughts, what I think and how I feel. But right now, God, I come before you and I'm saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Now, as these are being anointed with oil, it's according to the scriptures for those that may be viewing. The Bible in James, the 5th chapter, says, "Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up." So that's all we're doing. There's no power in the oil, but it's in the obedience of using it is what we are doing. These that are at the altar, I want you to know, I know you want me to come and pray with you, but I want to say this today. I truly believe that the big old hand of God right now can reach down and begin to touch you one more time. I believe the hand of God can move on you and cause you to realize that he is here and he is willing to do what no man can do for you. I want you to open your mouth right now where you are and just begin to have a conversation. That's all it is. That's prayer. It's just having a talk with Jesus, knowing that he can and will make everything all right. Jesus will work it out. But you've got to be willing to watch your steps. You've got to be willing to say, wait a minute, that's not the right step right there. That step is going to land me in trouble with God. Are you here today? Facebook, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing right now. But if you would just stop and bow your knees and talk to Jesus. YouTube, right now, I challenge you right where you are. Begin to talk to him. Begin to ask him, Lord, you've seen the steps that I've made. I've made some missteps. But Lord, I'm ready. I'm willing to come to you just as I am. Yes, Lord, somebody said, I'm tore up from the floor up. And Lord, I confess, Lord, I'm there. I'm that person. But I need you right now, Lord. Mm-hmm. Come on, reach out to him, y'all. Talk to him. There's nobody that can do you like Jesus. Nobody. Come on, that's it. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's personal. You got to make it personal. It has nothing to do with the laying on of my hand. No, no. It has everything to do with God moving on you right now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Do it for them, Lord. Do it for them. They're at the altar. They're crying out, Lord. Incline your ear, Lord, into this place of prayer right now. For only you can meet and supply all of the need, Lord, that has, Lord, come to this altar. It's overwhelming time. It's overwhelming at times, God, because you see people going through. You want to do what you can, but you can't do anything. Only you can. I'm asking you, please, sir, ma'am, cast all your care right now. All of your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's him. It's him right now.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at the now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.